Well, I was many years ago, I was preaching in Ohio, and somewhere in the sermon, I dealt with the subject of adversity and difficulty. And afterward, a lady came up to me and she says, "I have a scripture you need." And so she proceeds to open her Bible, and she says, wants to show it to me. So she opens her Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And boy, she was right. That was a scripture that I needed. I'm going to invite you to open your Bible to the same scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll read the scripture that lady shared with me on that Sunday, or that day in Ohio. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let me begin reading in verse 3, and then we'll read verse 4, where God tells us, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Boy, that was a scripture that I needed. And you know, it's been a long time since that lady showed me that scripture, but boy, it has helped me along the way in my journey, and I know it will help you. We're in a series entitled Adversity University, Higher Learning Through Life's Difficulties. The scripture that has been our theme is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, where Isaiah writes, "For the Lord, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so today in this series, I'm going to preach to you about God's comfort in adversity. God's comfort in adversity. So I asked you when we started this service today, how many of you have had adversity? And boy, just about everybody raised our hand, because everybody knows what it is to go through adversity in life. And we learned about the reasons for adversity and what God does in our lives and why it all takes place. But today, we're going to consider what God tells us from this passage about His comfort in adversity. So let's pray and ask Him to do this. So Lord, now You have told us, we just read about it, You have told us that You are a God that gives comfort. And since You said it is true, we know it is true. We take this by faith. But what I would like You to do, Lord, is beyond what we know to be true because You say it and we acknowledge the fact of it. What I'm asking is that You would help us to experience the comfort that You promise. And not only for us, but for others, that we may bless them for Your Jesus' sake. Now, this is a work, Lord, that You have to do in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so it is with such joy that I yield to the Holy Spirit to preach, to receive from You, and ask on behalf of all who are assembled with us in this place, and even those who may be online, that You would speak to us and deal with us as individuals very personally and powerfully. And so we ask, Lord, that You will do this, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we begin today, I think it's important for us to start with this, God's definition of comfort. When God tells us that He is, verse 3, the God of all comfort, that He comforts us in all our tribulation, in verse 4, let's define what comfort is. I think it's a good idea to start with what comfort is not. Comfort is not pity. Who has ever had to deal with car trouble here? Anyone had to deal with car trouble? Oh, yes. Well, we can all have pity. But the fact that I have pity for you doesn't fix your car. And truly, I do feel sorry for you, and we have pity. We feel sorry for people, and it makes me feel better that somebody feels sorry, but it doesn't offer any solutions. So it's really not comfort. Comfort is not empathy. Well, I know how you feel. I've had similar problems. And really, I'm glad that somebody understands, but still, that doesn't necessarily give me answers. Or it could be that comfort is not experience. Well, let me tell you my story. How many of you know everybody has a story to tell, right? Everybody has a story to tell about something. And that's wonderful. You have a story to tell, and I'm glad that you're sharing your story with me. And really, I'm so glad that somebody else has shared their pain. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there are answers for me. So if comfort is not pity and empathy and experience, what is comfort? Well, in this passage of Scripture, there's a term that is translated two ways in this portion of Scripture. It's translated comfort, it's translated consolation. They're synonyms. You'll notice where the Bible points it out. Verse 3, the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in our tribulation. Who may be able to comfort them in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5, you'll see it's translated consolation. Verse 6, consolation. Verse 7, consolation. And so what is this term? This term in the secular world was used of an attorney who was dealing with a case that had a particular legal problem, and the attorney cannot figure out exactly how to apply the law and how to argue their case for their client. And so the attorney would call another attorney and get another legal opinion on how he should approach this legal problem. It sometimes is used of a legal assistant. We might think of maybe a paralegal, a legal secretary, of someone who is helping that attorney in their case, or even a co-counsel, it would be used in that way, as someone else who is working with the attorney to make a case, a counsel for the defense. So however it is used, it always carries this idea, or the idea, that there is somebody who has the capability to give aid. And then God takes that term and he gives it a spiritual significance. When he says that God is the God who comforts us, he's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulation. So the spiritual significance is this: comfort is finding and sharing God's strength and hope in my adversity. I'll say that again. Comfort is finding and sharing God's hope in my adversity. There are two important components to this. The first is strength. Oh, remember the problem that Paul had? We learned about his problem in 2 Corinthians 12 later in the same book. We learned about the problem that he had that was such a challenge of adversity. And he calls it a thorn in the flesh. And he came to the Lord three times. Lord, would you do something with me and help me with this? Would you remove it? And do you know what Jesus told him? Do you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9? Here's what Jesus said: my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God gives strength that I don't have. He gives grace because in his grace there's power that I do not have. Jesus was with his disciples the last time before he's arrested and crucified, and he's in that upper room with them, and he has a long discussion with them, a long teaching session. And as he prepares them for when he is about to leave, and then the crucifixion, the resurrection, he tells them these words, John chapter 14. I'll begin reading in verse 16, I'll read through verse 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Well, who is the comforter you're going to send? Well, verse 18, or verse 19, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. So God gives sufficient strength by His grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit. So as we, by faith, claim His promises and we yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, Christ gives us sufficient strength. And you go through a difficult time and you say, God, I need you to come along and give me strength and hope. I don't have the strength for this. I cannot do this anymore. I'm at the end of my rope. And how many of you have been in places like that? Is then that by faith we say, wait a minute. Jesus said that my grace is sufficient. Whatever that weakness is, whatever that burden, His grace is enough. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be the comforter. And so by faith I say, God, I'm asking you, I know it's true because you said it, and I am yielding to the Holy Spirit to help me because I have some difficulty and I need your strength. I am at the end of my rope. And so, God, would you give me the grace, the power, the strength to hold on, and I'm trusting you. And what happens is when you take God at His word and you by faith claim it, God gives you the strength that you don't have. It's a wonderful mystery that I can't explain the way God does it. And He just does it just right, just as I need and just as you need it. So that's the first component of comfort. There's strength. But then there's another component, and it's hope. Hope means I can trust God's eternal perspective even when I cannot see it. Here's the fact. The fact is that you and I cannot understand it all. Going through adversity, can you understand it all? No. Can you justify it and say, oh, let me tell you exactly why this is going on. And let me, no, you can't justify it all at all either. At least not now. Maybe there's a time when God will allow us to see it in this life. Maybe in the world to come in glory. But while I'm going through difficulty now, hope takes God's eternal perspective by faith. And I trust my God who sees what I cannot see, who understands what I cannot understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just in my Bible, it's two or three pages over from where we are. Listen to what the Apostle Paul shares with these believers about times when they're in difficulty. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4, I'll read through verse 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it doesn't mean it's not hard. It means that in light of eternity, it's brief. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight, exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are not for the things which are temporal, but for the things which... I'm going to read that again. While we look at the things which are seen, but at the thing... I even messed it up again, didn't I? Talk about needing grace. Here we go. While we, you know, there are some things you just can't plan for and just can't script. It just happens, right? Thanks for rolling with me on it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that in the midst of these difficulties that I'm in, affliction, God calls it here. See, what God is doing is God is working something that has an eternal value. And while I don't understand it right now, and I can't understand it in its fullness, certainly, by faith I can understand that my God is a God that I can trust, and it gives me hope, because even though I don't understand all the details of what God is doing, I do know that God is doing something that has eternal perspective and eternal significance, so it gives me confidence in the midst of my adversity. So I was driving up on my way to church today, and I was thinking about this, and I thought about this, that God will not leave you comfortless or powerless, because he always has grace, and the work of the Holy Spirit is there to help me. He will not leave me hopeless, because I can trust his eternal work. And I hope that helps you. Going through some adversity, been enrolled in school, adversity university. So what is comfort? Comfort is finding and sharing God's strength and hope in my adversity. So I can honestly say, and you could say as well in your experience, that I've had some times when it looked like there was no way I could make it. But look what God did to help me through. And you can say with absolute confidence and veracity, God helped me through, and he can help you through as well. Now that's comfort. You know, you and I can read biographies of people that God has worked in their lives. It's wonderful to read biographies, and you see their stories of what God did in their lives. And it's encouraging, it's uplifting to us now how God sustained people in the midst of difficulty. But may I say to you that there's something that is even more personal and more powerful, and that is for you to understand that the difficulties through which you are going, as God brings you through, that you are living and writing a personal biography that isn't tied just to people in the past. Your biography, as God gives you help through the midst of adversity and brings comfort, your biography is a living biography of the present work of God in an individual life. And friend, may I tell you that your biography is a wonderful story. Powerful. And you read it as a testimony of what God is doing in my generation, in my life, but it is even beyond that. Your story is a story that other people are reading. A testament to the comfort of God in the midst of adversity. And you can share, this is what God did for me. And as God does it for me, then I can share what God's done for me with somebody else. Well, we've considered God's definition of comfort. We've considered God's declaration of comfort for you in adversity. That there's always his comfort to see me through. Let me give you some good news. How is God described in verse 3 and verse 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. God is described as the God of all comfort. He's described, verse 4, as the God who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He's the God that we read the end of the verse, wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How is God described? God is described as the God who gives comfort. Now that's good news. How many of you, if you're given the choice, you know, you've had this happen, do you want the bad news first or the good news? How many of you ask for the bad news first? Most. How many of you ask for the good news first? A handful of us, maybe. Okay. Yeah, it's sort of nice to get the bad news out of the way. The bad news is, you're going to be enrolled in adversity university sometime in your life. Many times in your life. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. The good news is that God is a God of comfort. God is a God that gives me strength. And he gives me hope. Well, what does that mean? I guess I would put it this way. The all says it all. He's the God of all comfort. Who comforteth us, verse 4, in all our tribulation. And not only that we may comfort those in any trouble. This is the God who is available to me in every tribulation in my life and is there to bring comfort. In fact, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 1 underscores the truth when God writes, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so also shall ye be of the consolation." So that the amount of suffering that I have and the amount of adversity that I have is always paralleled with God's concomitant comfort. So let's say you're going through a difficulty, and on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 2. Do you know how much comfort and consolation, strength and hope God gives you? God gives you a 2. But not everything's a 2. What happens if that time of difficulty is on a scale of 1 to 10, is a 6? If you need a 6 level of comfort, God in His grace and comfort gives you the 6 that you need, just enough. Goes higher, I don't want to talk about higher. Goes lower, so that it's always concomitant. God's comfort is always concomitant with the need and the difficulty of the tribulation. It's a story about the widow lady who, after she was widowed, lived by herself for a long time. And after a while, her daughter noticed that she was going to the adult care living facility. We used to call it the old folks' home. We don't do it that way anymore. But 3 times a week, this lady was going to the old folks' home. And her daughter was just puzzled. Why is she going to the old folks' home? So she does some investigation, and she finds out that her mom is going to the old folks' home, and her mom is going around to all the men in that facility, and she's giving and receiving hugs 3 times a week. She says, "Mom, what are you doing?" She said, "Honey, at my age, you need all you can get." I'm going to tell you, comfort's that way. You need all you can get. When you're in the midst of adversity, you need all the strength and hope that God can give you. And I want to tell you, the good news is that God always has enough strength and hope. God has all you need to help you. Now, this is such a wonderful encouragement. But it's really not the focus of this passage. I'm going to read verse 4 and ask you, as you read it with me, what is the focus of this passage of Scripture? Let's read it together. Follow along as I read aloud. Verse 4, speaking of God who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What is the focus of this passage? The focus of this passage goes beyond the comfort God gives to you, but to the comfort God gives through you. Can I say that again? The focus of this passage goes beyond the comfort God gives to you, but it goes to the comfort that God gives through you. And that brings us, thirdly, to God's design for your comfort. We've considered God's definition of comfort, and we've considered God's declaration of comfort for you in adversity. But what is God's design for your comfort in adversity? God's design is that God is allowing you to experience adversity, and through His strength and hope that He gives you, He wants you then to bless somebody else that they may find strength and hope. Now, I know this is not new truth. Maybe for some it is. But life is not all about you. The world does not revolve on your axis nor on mine. So God does bring adversity into our lives to help us to understand that my adversity is really God's way of opening doors of ministry to others. Now that brings us to three keys to discovering God's design for comfort. Here's the first of the three keys. The purpose of my adversity is to make me more effective in helping others. The first key, the purpose of my adversity is to make me more effective in helping others. So again, verse 4, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now, are you sure that's what God means? Yes, I'm sure, because God underscores it again in verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, Paul sharing his own testimony, it is for your consolation and salvation. That is, that God will deliver you from it, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So that God is doing a work, Paul says, my testimony is that God is doing something in my life, but as he's working in my life, it's not just for me. It's that God is sharing with me how his comfort and consolation are real to me. And that way it can help you to be delivered as you are going through a time of adversity, a time of difficulty, when you're enrolled in Adversity University. So the purpose of my adversity is to make me more effective in helping others. Here's the second key. Experiencing adversity does not qualify me to comfort others. Can I say that again? Experiencing adversity does not qualify me to comfort others. Experiencing comfort qualifies me to comfort others. I'll say that again. If you're writing this down, it takes a while to write it. Experiencing adversity does not qualify me to comfort others. Experiencing comfort qualifies me to comfort others. So you look in your Bible again at verse 4. That yes, we're able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that leads us to the third key. The third key is this: your response to adversity will determine whether or not God can use you to comfort others. Your response to adversity will determine whether or not God can use you to comfort others. And so look at your Bible again, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. Oh yes, we've got sufferings. But what we found is that Christ is real to us and he has shown himself. He's shown his strength and his hope. He's shown his power to work in my life in the midst of this. And because he's done this work in us, then we can share with you what he can do for you. Now, in our study of adversity, we have learned that God clearly places the responsibility of our response to adversity on each of us. And every choice that you and I make in the midst of adversity determines whether or not God's purpose is fulfilled. And when God brings you into adversity, if you'll learn to seek the Lord and trust him for his strength, and to look for him and his hope, and God does this for you, what happens is now there's an open opportunity for you to share with somebody else what he's done for you. Now, if you become a bitter person, ungrateful, self-absorbed, then you miss not only what God has for you and what he can do in you, but you miss the opportunity to bless somebody else, because there's somebody else that you know that goes to Adversity University. There are people that God is going to place in your life all through your lifetime that are going to go through adversity university too. We're fellow travelers. We're enrolled in this school at different times together. And oh, what an opportunity is provided for you to experience God's hope and help, but to share God's hope and help, and to bless somebody else in the journey. So your response to adversity will determine whether or not God can use you to comfort others. So I wonder, are you cooperating with God and yielding to the Lord and trusting His divine power and trusting who He is as you go through adversity? Are you working against Him, questioning His goodness? Walking your own way rather than the Lord's way. The story is told about a farmer who had a litter of puppies. And so he went out to the fence of his property along the road, and he was putting up a sign that said that there are puppies available. And when he finished nailing up his sign, he looks down, and there's a little guy at his side. The little guy's pulling on his overalls. And he said, "Mister, I want to buy one of your puppies." And the man said, "Well, these puppies come from fine parents. They cost a good deal of money." And the boy drops his head for a moment. He reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a handful of change and he counts it up. He said, "For 39 cents, could I at least take a look?" And the farmer says, "Okay," and he calls out, "Dolly, here, Dolly." And out of the doghouse comes the mama, Dolly, and she runs toward the farmer, and behind her are four balls of fur running behind her, her litter. And then the kid is just delighted. You can imagine the delight on his face as these puppies are coming his way. And then after a while, there's one that comes lagging behind, a little smaller ball of fur than the rest of them. And he would run a little bit, then he'd fall and he'd roll, and then he'd get back up and run a little bit and fall and roll, and all the way to join the other puppies. And the little guy says, "I want that one." "Now, son, you don't want that one. That's the runt of the litter. You know, you're never going to be able to run and play with him like you would with the other ones." And with that, the little boy steps back from the fence and he reaches down. He begins rolling up one of his pant legs to reveal that he has a metal brace on his leg. And he says to the farmer, "You see, sir, I don't run too well myself, and he'll need someone who understands. And I want to tell you that God is going to place people in your life who need someone who understands. And the adversity that He is bringing to your life, as you find His help, you will be able to be used of the Lord to bless their lives in ways that you could never have done so except that God brought you to Adversity University. You found His help and His strength and His power. Now you have the opportunity to bless others." I'm going to ask you to bow your head for just a moment.